Like I said, this morning is going to be a little bit unique in that I want us just to take time to celebrate some of the things that God has done in us, through us, for us. Some things are little, some things are huge. They're all worthy of our time to say to a good God, thank you. For example, this last week turned out to be a great week for our children and our teenagers. We took over, where's Phil? Is Phil still in? Where'd he go? All right. We got 50 students, give or take. That's what I was going to check with the exact number. We got 50, give or take, students who got to go to youth camp. We took over 50 children, I think, right? 50 children and 6 adults to children's camp this past week. Now, here's why that's a good thing. Here's why that's exciting. This may be the summer that those kids and those students needed to go to camp more than ever before. And yet, how many of their families really could have been able to pay for camp this year? We knew that we had an issue because we couldn't ask families to pay that camp fee. And on top of that, you can't have fundraisers in our town. How are you going to have a fundraiser? How are you going to wash cars to send kids to camp when people don't have homes to live in? So what are we going to do? We started praying about it, and I wanted you to know that God took care of it. The National WMU donated all of the money necessary for us to provide the transportation for our children to go to their camp. Their camp called us pretty early on and said, we just want you to know that there have been so many churches who've made donations on your behalf that your kids are paid for. So our children didn't pay for camp. We didn't have to rent the bus to get them there. There were a number of churches in the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship and a number of churches in the Tyron Evergreen Association that is associated with the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. Those two groups each raised enough money, donated enough money for all of our teenagers to go to camp and have some left over to support the camp. Now, I want you to know how meaningful that is to us that we got to send our kids to camp. But I also want you to know something that you might not have caught when I told you who paid for that. Because Baptists have been divided for decades. Most of what has divided us has not been important enough to divide us, and yet we allowed it to happen anyway. But what happened in this case was a group that represents one very far side of the issue gave the same amount of money as a group that represents the very other far side in these issues. And I want you to see that because God is working through His people in a powerful way. One of the things that I've learned through this experience is that that's the way God chooses to work most of the time, is through His people. That's been hard for me to learn, because for Him to work through His people, that means we have to depend on His people. We have to accept from them, receive from one another. We have to be there for each other, because that's how He usually chooses to work. I want us just to stop real quick and say thank you for this past week, because our kids came back, our students came back with new hope, with a stronger faith. Both camps went exceptionally well. This has been a God-blessed week. So let's stop for a second and just say thank you, okay? Dear God, we want to thank you. Lord, we want to thank you for the blessings of this week, the spiritual blessings that you brought into our children's lives, the spiritual blessings that you brought into the lives of our students. Lord, we're grateful. We don't want to take any of it for granted. And so we pause this morning to say, that you are a great God, and we are grateful that you've revealed yourself to us and you have taken care of our kids again in such a powerful way. We thank you for each church who made a donation, for each group that sacrificed to make sure that our kids got those experiences. We want to thank you for them, for their generosity. We ask your blessings on them as well. Lord, we're grateful for what you've done. We're grateful for what you're going to continue to do. We pray you'd continue to bless through this time of recognizing your gifts and offering our thanks. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted you to remember Psalm 100 at verse 4 and 5. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Now hear this. "For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." That's why we've been saying these last few weeks, God is good and West is blessed. Because I want us to remember that we serve a good God and he is taking care of us through this whole thing. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations." I wanted you to know about something else as well. I wanted you to know about our Loving West emphasis. We told you a little bit about it last week. You remember there were crosses on the walls. Those crosses were built by pieces of paper that represented jobs that had been completed in our town. And we had literally hundreds of people who came into town last week. We had over 600 different individuals. Many of those individuals stayed more than one day. And so, if you were to add all that up, we'd easily get to 1,000 if you counted the person who stayed more than one day, more than one time. Over 600 folks came and did something here for us. God, again, was using his people to take care of his people. And we accomplished a number of tasks. Well over 200 jobs were completed. Jobs meaning maybe mowing a lawn, maybe cleaning up a lot that had been demolished. Maybe doing some easy repairs in a house. Folks came from all over the place and did a remarkable job in serving the Lord here. The Baptist General Convention of Texas now prefers the name Texas Baptists. And the Texas Baptists prepared a video that explained kind of what was happening that week and summed up very well some of the great ways that God has been blessing us in these most recent days. And I want you to see that video that was prepared by the Texas Baptists. Here's our first video.
This week is our week of Loving West. The Texas Baptist Disaster Recovery has mobilized volunteers to come and participate in helping individuals recover from the explosion.
Loving West is the title of this week. About 600 individual Texas Baptists are coming together.
These volunteers show up, they get a job assigned to them, and they go out in the community and get busy, work all day long.
The work projects come from the citizens individually here in town. They have heard that we're here. Their demolition, the cleanup before and after the demolition. We've got construction, plumbing and sewer cap off. Lawn mowing, any kind of landscaping, yard cleanup.
A bunch of the volunteers are working at the apartment complex that became so famous, really.
They went through the stuff at the apartments after they were knocked down to get as many personal belongings of our tenants as they could.
Now these volunteers are coming in and by hand separating debris from whatever might be valuable, whatever might be meaningful to the family.
We are particularly being sensitive to families and picking up the pieces, you know, piece by piece, hoping to salvage any personal items.
After that night, we could tell that our homes were either so badly damaged that they were going to have to come down, or some of the homes pretty well came down on their own. And so the only option we had was to just completely demolish them so that we could rebuild. We knew that a lot of folks were struggling financially. Most of the people in West were underinsured. So the insurance they did get all needs to go to rebuilding. If you use $15,000 for demolition, that's $15,000 less that you have to spend to rebuild. People were going to have a hard time paying for demolition and being able to rebuild because they started underinsured anyway. What that means is people are going to very quickly give up and move away. When people give up and move away, the local economy cannot be restored. We noticed that we could do a lot of that work for them, so they don't have to pay $10,000 to $15,000. And so my associate, Phil Emick, and some of the other folks in town got busy, and they worked hard, and they did a great job of organizing this thing. RDO is a company in Hewitt. They have donated all of the heavy equipment necessary, so there's no charge for the equipment. We have our own volunteers who are experts in running the equipment, so the labor is at no charge. The homeowner was going to have to spend $12,000 to $15,000. Now the homeowner spends zero, so now those homeowners can afford, hopefully, to make the tough decision to go ahead and rebuild. Stay in the community, strengthen the local economy, and start building back that tax base. After the demolition crew comes through, there's left rubble and mess everywhere because the big equipment can only pick up so much. It can only get the big stuff and throw it away. So there's still just dirt and mess everywhere. And to the homeowner, that still feels like chaos. Even though we've made a big step forward, we've got the house down, so now at the right time we can either put a new slab down or start building on the old slab. So the volunteers come in and they do what the big machines couldn't. The big machines got the building out of the way. The volunteers come in and they prepare the lot. They get it cleaned up and ready to go. So now when the homeowner drives by, there's not a feeling of chaos, there's a feeling of progress. What these volunteers are bringing is hope. When I go by my home now, where my home was, I can tell that I'm going to be okay because I don't just have rubble and disaster there. I've got a new, clean lot ready to build. And that's because of the work of the volunteers. So what they're doing is bringing hope.
This is all good, and I think, again, it's what makes Texas Baptist who we are.
I don't know if you can say thanks enough. I feel so blessed, and I thank the Lord for those that are willing to do that. It is really, truly wonderful.
This couldn't be possible without Texas Baptist support. Your financial support is making this happen, as well as the number of volunteers.
God is good, and West is blessed. He is taking care of us through His people. And that's been exciting to see. that the and an exciting lesson to learn, that the way He takes care of us is through His people.
You know, first of all, it takes resources to make this happen. And for those of you who've given of your resources to help make this happen, on behalf of all Texas Baptists, I want to say thank you. You are making a difference, and just know we are deeply grateful. And then to the volunteers, hundreds of volunteers who've come to West to really help this community get back on its feet and really position itself for great days ahead. You have done great work. And so on behalf of Texas Baptist, on behalf of First Baptist Church, but I think particularly on behalf of the people of West, I just want to say thank you for your resources. Thank you for your manpower. God bless you all. Thank you so much.
So we had an exciting experience. Some great work was done, and we have reason to be grateful. Let's thank the Lord real quick for the work that He's begun among us. Father, we pause again to say thank you. As we see our town literally changing before our very eyes, we see the progress being made, and we see hope being restored. Lord, thank you. Thank you for providing the resources necessary. Thank you for providing the people necessary, for the expertise, for the equipment, for the process. Lord, we're grateful that you have worked in such a meaningful way. We pray you'd continue to bless the efforts of those who will continue the work. Father, we just want to say thank you for the way that you're taking care of us through this thing. We continue to trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. One other note about the demolitions, the way that we're able to accomplish that, the reason that we were able to provide that kind of work at no cost to the homeowner was because churches all over the state, and for that matter, in various parts of the nation, sent donations to our church to allow us to minister to our community. And so all of that money that came in from other churches was set up in a special fund. So all of the stuff that we're able to do is funded by the generosity of God's people. Again, God is using His people to take care of His people. I wanted to share with you again as well that I guess it was this past Monday, I went to a special meeting in Waco. There is a group I don't know that you're not familiar with yet, but there's a group in Waco that is a coalition of churches that represents all different denominations in Waco. This coalition of churches has agreed that they would each adopt one or more families in West. And so there are well over 100 families who've been adopted by one of the Waco churches. And that church, whoever's responsible for keeping up with that family, stay in touch with them, walk through this thing with them, just be a listening ear, sometimes provide material things that are necessary, sometimes help that family make connections to the other resources they need. And this group has done a tremendous job as they've reached out to our community, family by family by family. Well, they were having a prayer meeting on Monday night, and I went just because I wanted to have a chance to say thank you to these folks who are doing this work. And I wanted you to know that that prayer meeting was one of the most meaningful experiences in my life since I've started this ministry, since I've started in ministry. It was powerful. God showed up in a marvelous way. The man who was leading had 11 basic categories that he was asking people to pray for. And he started with our leaders. And up on the screen, it listed Mayor Tommy Muschka, Mayor Pro Tem Steve Vanek, listed all of the city councilmen. And the folks who were there that night were praying for every one of our leaders by name. It listed the school administrators and the school board members, and they were prayed for by name. It listed our police chief, the chief of our volunteer fire department, the head of the EMS organization. Everybody was prayed for. It listed every church in West and the name of the pastor of that church. And it was a powerful and meaningful experience. I wanted you to know that so that you know how to thank God for what His people are doing. We're being prayed for and ministered to in a marvelous way. I'd like for us to do something a little bit different now. I'd like for us to take just a few minutes to pray for these leaders in our community. I want us to pray for our mayor, for our city council, for those that we've just listed, for the churches, for the other pastors. And I want to ask you to do something maybe a little out of your comfort zone. If you're comfortable and able, would you find a place in which you could kneel before the Lord? The altar is open. You can come here if you want to kneel in the aisle. If you're more comfortable just sitting, then you sit. If you're more comfortable standing when you pray, stand up. Go to the wall. Go to the aisle. I want to ask you to get in a context of prayer, a position of prayer that is meaningful for you. And we're just gonna ask God to bless these folks who are working to take care of us. We're going to ask God to give them wisdom. The hardest decisions have not been made. The hardest decisions for our leaders are still being worked through, and they need our prayer. So I'm going to ask if you would, some of you join me at the altar, some of you just sit where you are, some of you get in a comfortable position that's meaningful for you, and let's pray together. We're going to ask God's blessing on these leaders. All right. And let's begin this in this way. Just privately, quietly, right where you are. Would you pray in your own heart? Would you just pray and lift up your family? Ask God to bless you and ask God to bless your family. And then just quietly and earnestly, would you lift up your neighbors and your friends? And remember in a special way, a personal way, would you remember those who have lost the most? Those who lost loved ones, those who were injured, those who lost homes, would you lift up these? And now, Almighty God, we come to you like the psalmist who said, I cried out to the Lord, and He heard my prayer. God, we know that you hear. We know that you care. We know that you're able. And so, Lord, we earnestly, sincerely pray that you would continue to bless our community. Lord, bring healing. Bring healing to our town, to our families, to our broken hearts. Lord, bring peace, a peace that just doesn't make sense in the midst of chaos, and yet it's very real. Lord, we lift up our mayor to you and pray that you'd give him wisdom. Give him courage, but temper that courage with wisdom. Lord, we pray that you'd bless our city council, that they would make wise decisions. Lord, we lift up our superintendent of schools. We pray that you'd help him to have a vision of what needs to happen next and how to get there. We lift up our school board members to you and pray, Lord, that you'd help them to communicate with one another clearly and carefully and with our superintendent, and may they share a common vision. Lord, we pray that you'd give them the wisdom they need to lead us in a way that would be best for our children. Father, we lift up our emergency personnel, our police department, fire department, EMS. As they recover personally and as they recover professionally, Lord, help them to stay vigilant. Give them strength and courage to do their job with the same valiant effort that they had on that night. Father, we pray that you'd continue to bless each church in our community. We lift up every one of our fellow churches here in town. We call ourselves by different names, but there is more that we have in common than there is that we have in differences. And we pray, Lord, that you'd bless each congregation, each minister, priest, pastor. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen us as a community. Help us never to forget how good you've been. Help us never again take for granted your blessings. May this event not only change the way we view the world, but may it change the way we view our God, to know that you're able and you care and you're here. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being great. Thank you for letting us trust you. And now I'm going to ask you if you'd just take the next 30 seconds to conclude that prayer in your own way. For we ask it all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate your taking that time. I think it's important for us to do that. This morning at First Baptist Church of Dallas, they are celebrating Independence Day by remembering and recognizing veterans, and by remembering and recognizing first responders. And because of that emphasis, First Baptist Dallas came to West, and they prepared a video. They talked with me, talked with Robert Payne, talked about that night. And as a way to honor first responders, they featured Robert in that video, and they're showing it now at First Baptist Dallas. And I want you to see what they're seeing in Dallas. Remember, as we see this, this is an opportunity for us to express our gratitude for the way that God uses His people to take care of His people.
I'm John Crowder, pastor of First Baptist Church here in West.
Robert Payne, I've lived here since 1963, been a fireman since 1985 in the volunteer fire department.
Wednesday night, April 17, about 7:30, a fire broke out at the local fertilizer plant.
I put on my bunker gear at the house and drove straight to the fire. As soon as I walked out the door, you could tell we had a large structure fire. Parked my car and then walked in and talked to some of our guys who were putting water on the fire at the time. Do not remember who I talked to at this point.
About 20 minutes later, the container of fertilizer exploded.
I was thrown probably 20 to 30 feet into a a tank.
He was literally blown out of his boots. His boots went one way, and he went another. Half of our town blew up, and our world got turned upside down. Everything changed. We lost 12 first responders. We've lost a couple of hundred homes. Everybody has seen the apartment complex, 50 units just completely destroyed. The nursing home came down, and there was, I think, a couple of hundred residents there. The next morning, April 18, I started getting phone calls from church members. Are we going to have church on Sunday? This part of town was cordoned off. We were not allowed to come to the church. So we couldn't, they want to know how we're going to have church. We wound up finding a field out in the south end of town, and we had church outside in a field that day. And that was the first time that most of us had seen each other. You know, it's one thing to talk on the phone and make sure everybody's okay. It was something else to really see each other, to be together. And God bless that time. That morning, I was able to stand in front of the folks and say, this is bad, this is terrible, we're hurting, we're scared, but God is bigger than all of this. We've learned again to trust Him, even when it doesn't make sense, because He's bigger than this, He's proved it, and He continues to bless. I didn't know enough to realize that that was more than just a fire, but our first responders did. And so they went in to fight the fire knowing that they were going into an extremely dangerous situation.
They're just trying to help out their community, trying to be of service. Ultimately, you're called to it just to be of service. It's just a strong commitment and a sense to be a part of that community, to help that community, to serve your neighbor.
They are indeed our heroes. We'll always be indebted to them and to their families.
The cost was the loss of fathers, grandfathers, brothers. You know, this is going to be our 9/11, our Pearl Harbor, our D-Day, our day we never forget. I just want to again emphasize that those are the ones we need to remember.
Note at the end about KCBI is there because KCBI is an affiliate of First Baptist Church of Dallas. But I wanted you to, I wanted us to think about Robbie's last statement. Those are the ones that we need to remember. The ones who gave their lives to take care of us. We have much to be grateful for. Some of the things that we're grateful for are not easy. But we can be grateful that there were people who were willing to do what was not easy. Scripture says that we're to give thanks in all things. That's a hard word to hear until you hear it correctly. It doesn't say give thanks for all things. But he says give thanks in all things. Are we grateful for the explosion, for the devastation, for the heartache and the pain and the loss? No. Can we learn to be grateful in the midst of the loss and the pain and the heartache? We can be grateful because God has taken care of us and He continues to bless. When we see a man hanging on a tree, being tortured, being ridiculed, would that be something to be grateful for? If we know the full story, we can't help but say thanks. Because the man hanging on the tree being tortured is the Son of God, dying on purpose on our behalf, giving His life that we might have life. When we look at Calvary, there's nothing pretty there. There's no shiny plates, pretty ornate crosses. When we look at Calvary, there's nothing there but death and torture and pain. And yet we can say thank you. Because what happened on Calvary was the Lamb of God became the sacrifice necessary to pay for our sin. And so all of a sudden, the horrible, grotesque, gory picture becomes something beautiful as the Son of God provides a way in which we can be forgiven and find life. I'm going to ask our deacons to join me at the table as we turn our attention now to that which reminds us of the cross. The bread and the cup remind us of Jesus' body and blood that was broken and shed for us. Scripture says the wages of sin is death. In other words, when we sin, the price for that is death. And Jesus, in essence, said to each of us, I love you enough that I'll pay that price on your behalf. And so, as Christians, we come to the table to make sure that we never forget. Robbie reminded us to remember those who had given their lives. That is the point of this table, to remember the one who gave his life for us all. Father, as we turn to the table now, we pray that you would help us to be grateful. Help us to understand in a deeper, more meaningful way the sacrifice that was made. Father, help us remember and never forget the love that you showed us on that cross. Lord, speak now and receive glory now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Paul recorded for us what happened.